Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, now I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and I have done what is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly, and came up before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then Isaiah said, "Take a cake of figs," and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this, the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? So Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps on which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah listened to them and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where have they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have you seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you shall beget, shall be taken away, and they shall become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Is it not so, if there should be peace and truth in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all of his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son became king in his place. Amen. So we finished the story of Hezekiah, if you remember from before. It seemed like it was a while ago. But Hezekiah becomes ill. They really don't have an idea of exactly what was wrong with him, but it's apparent that he is mortally ill, that he's going to die. And so Isaiah comes and tells him, basically, "You're going to die." And so he says something. He says, "Set your house in order. Make sure the affairs," and I don't believe that this is referring to a personal matter, but really matters of the state. And this is why it's important. We know from the scriptures, and actually through Isaiah's writing, and then the key is actually verse 21. If you look at the first verse of 21, it says Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. Okay, so think about that. Manasseh was 12. So his father was gained 15 more years of life. So do the math, okay? Basically, when the word of the Lord comes to Hezekiah, he actually has no heir to the throne. And so God prolongs his life for 15 years. I believe primarily that an heir can be established in the kingdom of Judah. And so we'll get into that a little bit later on. And so he says, get the affairs of your house in order. In other words, you set up a successor. Now, there wouldn't be a natural succession because he has no son. So you get the affairs of the state in order because you're going to die. And, I mean, that's a pretty pretty stern word. I mean, if we, any one of us receive a word like that, we would be pretty shocked and probably in despair, probably sad, and I mean, all kinds of things that happen in this way. And yet, look at what happens here. Hezekiah, verse 2, he says, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. This is a little different. We've seen this phrase before, turn their face. We see it in Ahab, in 1 Kings. And remember Ahab, he's sullen, he turns his face, is more like anger. Have you guys ever done, I mean, there's quite a few married couples in here. Have you ever done that? You're lying in bed, you get in a fight with your wife, and you turn your back on your wife. That's my first move. Maybe some of you guys maybe could relate to me in that way. My first move is to turn my wife, but it's despondent, it's despair. That's not really the way that he's talking about here. What Hezekiah does, he gets the news, and Ahab, in 1 Kings, turned his face in a kind of rude manner, but Hezekiah actually turns his face to the wall to secure a better place or a better posture by which he goes before the Lord. And he starts crying out to God, and God answers his prayer. He says, the prayer says, Lord, you know that I've walked before you in truth with a whole heart, have done what is good in your sight. And then Hezekiah wept bitterly. He reminds God of Hezekiah's faithfulness. Now, interestingly enough, this is a little difficult message in this regard, because usually that doesn't really work very well. Because generally speaking, when you look through the prophets and things, they remind God of his faithfulness. They say, God, you've been faithful, and you, this is your promise. But Hezekiah, he reminds God of his faithfulness. But in this case, it actually works. Now, I say that with a grain of salt, because my contention is that I don't necessarily think it's about his illness. I think God saves Hezekiah on behalf of the kingdom for his son. So that'll play quite powerful later on here. And so he does this, and then he weeps bitterly. I mean, his posture is good. Maybe his prayer is so-so in that regard. I mean, that's a commentary. But I'll say this. Thank goodness Hezekiah was able to say that before the Lord. And that's part of our testimony in that regard. You know, that when difficulty or trouble, at least we can go with a clear conscience and say to the Lord, Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've been true to you in this regard. I beseech you, I come to you with clear conscience in that way. I think that's so important. You know, regardless, I mean, the prayer worked, and, you know, I have this commentary on that, but regardless of that, that we should be able to go to the Lord with a clear conscience and say, God, man, I've really given my heart over to you. I've really been faithful to you in these matters and these things that are happening in our lives. I mean, how important is that for all of us to have this testimony? I remember years ago, in a really, very difficult time in our family, I shared it many times before, that my dad used to have a very large furniture company, a manufacturing company, and we basically lost everything. And so my dad sat our whole family down. It's very vivid memory to this day. And we're all sitting in the master bedroom of our huge house. And my dad sat all the kids down. And it's actually the first time I ever saw my dad cry. And he basically said, we lost everything. We lost all our houses. We even lost some of our cars. Lost the business. I mean, literally lost everything. And he turned to us and he says, but I want you kids to know that I didn't gamble this away. We didn't drink this away. In other words, you know, he didn't do anything that was evil or deceitful, you know, or wasteful on gambling, drugs, alcohol, women, you know, any of those things, any of those vices. And he just said, sometimes this happens. And then he told us that we lost the house. We need to leave in a month. Our house got repossessed, and all these things. And looking back at that, so thankful, you know, to my parents, my dad. They didn't gamble it away. They had a clear conscience. It was just business. Things happen in business. And it wasn't through their lack of integrity or any of these kinds of things. And as I look back, that's really all we have. It's just our good name. It's all we have is that we live life right. Now, difficulties may happen in our lives, but there should be a part of us to our children or to our community that says, well, I did everything right in the sight of the Lord. It just happened that this event took place or whatever the case may be. And so at least Hezekiah has a clear conscience in that way. And it so moved God that even before Isaiah leaves, the word of the Lord comes to him. It's the unction of the Spirit comes upon Isaiah, and he tells him it's going to be done. It's a done deal. He's going to add 15 years of your life. Go to the house of the Lord. Now, why does Hezekiah ask for a sign? Because wouldn't the sign be, quite simply, that you're healed? You know what I mean? He's asking for healing. Wouldn't the sign be, well, I'm now well in this regard? But really, the confirmation dealt with him going back, because as a person that's sick, it's got apparently, at least we know this part, he's got boils. In other words, he's got some kind of skin disease or something that's happening to him. Maybe he's considered with high fever or whatever the case may be, but we know that. So he's asked to put figs, which was used as an ointment during that time to soothe skin diseases in that regard. And he says that, go to the house of the Lord. So, you know, you're not supposed to go to the house of the Lord when you have skin diseases or any kind of imperfection. And so he needs to get some confirmation that he's allowed to do this. And the Lord says, look at this. What do you want? Isaiah says, you want me to turn the sun forward? You want me to turn the sun back? What do you want me to do? And he says, well, turn the sun back. And that's exactly what happened. That's totally miraculous if you haven't figured that out. And so he does it. He turns it back. And so now some time goes on here, and then the king of Babylon, the son of the king of Babylon, comes to pay a visit to Hezekiah. Now, this is really relaying in these 15 years or during the end of this time, what we're seeing when he gets sick. We don't know exactly what happens. But remember before, he gave all of his, so much of his gold and jewelry and all this to Sennacherib. Do you remember that, the passage? So somehow, all this stuff is restored to Hezekiah. And so Hezekiah, now you start seeing his fall. And you'll get a little bit more of that in Chronicles, and particularly in the book of Isaiah. Well, more so in Chronicles, you get a little more idea of what happens through all this. And next thing you know, Hezekiah, now he's full of pride. Pride maybe in the fact that God heals him. And so he's prolonged his life. He thinks he's special. This happens a lot in the church. We are special, we are loved by God, but there's this other kind of spiritual arrogance cloaked in piety that says, I'm more beloved than anybody else, because look what God's done for me, I'm so blessed. You see this a lot in the prosperity movement. Look, I'm so wealthy, I'm so rich, I'm better than everybody else. And this pride begins to come up, and so and probably because of his pride, he shows the son of the king of Babylon all that he has, everything that he has. And the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah. Isaiah comes and says, hey, what have you done? What have you shown? What's going on here? And the next thing you know, he says, well, I showed him everything. To his own glory, it's displeasing to the Lord. And as a result, he says, everything that you showed him will actually be given to him. And that's what we have. This is what starts the exile that happens into Babylon. And your sons will be serving in the court of the king of Babylon. We see this happening. Eventually all this stuff takes place. And then you get a little more idea in verse 18 of what I was saying before. And some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you shall beget. In other words, you haven't got these sons yet, but you'll get these sons. And they will be taken away, and they become officials in the palace of the king. Now, You have a little taste. You don't really understand what's going on in Hezekiah's heart. Why did he show the king of the son of the king of Babylon all of his treasuries? Why all these things happened? Now, the commentator comments exactly what's going on. Look what he says. Hezekiah, verse 19, says to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." In other words, yes, it's proper. I have sinned. This is due recompense. Now, this is the next part. Then he thoughts. So, listen, he says one thing, but he thinks something totally different. And he says, "For he thought, is it not so if there should be peace and truth in my days?" In other words, as long as it's okay when I'm king, I don't really care about my sons that I don't even have yet, right? So, they don't really mean anything to me. But as long as everything is okay in my day, I'm fine with this judgment. Number one, you realize, man, this guy doesn't have a father's heart, you know, at all. I mean, he's just for himself. You see the selfishness and the self-centeredness. That's why he shows the son of the king of Babylon all these things. His pride, self-centeredness, eventually leads to his downfall. And then the rest of the acts, all of his might, how he made the pool and the conduit. Quick note, this is probably one of the funnest experiences when you go to Israel, is you can go to Hezekiah's pool, or Hezekiah's, I guess it's Hezekiah's tunnel that goes in. And this is dark tunnel. Matthew, how long is it, the tunnel? Do you remember? Yeah, it's a good like 15-minute, 20-minute walk. I mean, pitch black. The water comes to your knees or some places to your thigh. And this is a tunnel that Hezekiah built that he's talking about here. It's a treat because, man, you're like literally, you can't move. It's one single file line. And, you can't pass anybody during this time. And, you know, if you ever thought, is this the real thing? Well, this is as real as it gets. You know, going back to ancient times, this tunnel is still there. It's pretty cool. By the way, if you ever get to go on a trip with me, I've been, as a tradition, I've been singing for everybody those 20 minutes because you can't hide. And the echo off the wall is so loud. And so add my voice to the water. It's a beautiful experience. So something to look forward to. But it's actually still there. And everything he does, and he sleeps, and then his son, Manasseh, 12 years old, he takes over from this place. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's meditate a bit on this chapter. Notice in the beginning, Hezekiah says, "Man, I've served you with a pure heart," all these things. And then God blesses him with 15 years of more life. And that begins his demise in some ways. And there's a lot of things that could be said in this regard. But brothers and sisters, man, be careful that the blessings that God gives us don't turn into curses in our life. And it's a fine line. You know what tips us over that line is our pride. Our selfishness and self-centeredness. It could be true in so many ways. You know, you could be looking for a job and God would bless you with an incredible job. That's a blessing of God. And then you use that job and like you start skipping church for work. You start skipping house church. You know, you stop giving to the Lord from the resources of that job. And the next thing you know, man, the very thing that God blessed you with is actually leading to your demise. Because pride and self-centeredness entered into the picture. There's an antidote for that. You know what it is? Thanksgiving. Being grateful to God. Giving thanks to God, not ourselves, to say, "God, thank you for my job. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my health." You know, thank you for so many different things that you've blessed my life with. That's how we can make sure those blessings don't come back to haunt us. Is giving your job, your kids, your health, your wealth, all these things back to the Lord and in God's proper structure. And the blessings of the Lord really be a blessing in our lives. And so if as we ask the Holy Spirit to help us this morning, if there's anything in our life today that God's blessed us with, but we're using these things actually to take us away from the Lord or our commitment to the Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let Him reorient our lives again. And let us really offer thanks and say, God, it's You who gave me these things. I didn't do it myself. I think in many ways Hezekiah, he could have possibly felt that his life was prolonged because of himself. But it wasn't. It was because of the Lord. Because God had a heart for Judah. And God wanted to make sure there was a successor there. And there wouldn't be political turmoil. But yet Hezekiah considered that for his own. Let's pray this morning.
Faithful one. So
again.
Man, what a treat, huh? Two musicians this morning. Let's pray this morning. Let's give thanks to God. Let's count all of our blessings. Let's give thanks for what the Bible talks about, all of His benefits. And let's make sure that those benefits, those blessings, are not the reason why we turn away from the Lord. Again, the antidote is thanksgiving. And so let's thank the Lord this morning for all the blessings of our life. Let's count all our blessings, all the benefits. And say, Lord, help us, God. Let not these blessings turn into curses in our life. And let's pray. Let's pray over our community, and particularly those that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but more importantly, they need to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community to find a job. Let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's pray over our mission focus this morning. Let's pray for Japan. Let's lift up this country, its people. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Pray over her schooling, her language learning, and her ministry in the church there. Let's pray for New York. Let's pray for SPNY. Pray for Pastor Chris and Amy, the community, that God would really continue to grow them and bless them. Pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace as she's starting to set up shop. Pray for her adjustment back into Cambodia after a lengthy stay away. Let's pray for Oasis House, Pastor Jenny Oh, and their Inner Healing Deliverance Center. Let's pray that many people would receive healing in this place. Let's lift up these countries, the city of New York, and let's ask for God's hand. pray over our missions council. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers there. Let's pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be upon them, that they would really be aggressive in leading our church in his missional endeavors. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, Agape Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders and volunteers. And let's pray for every time they go out that they would really encounter the Lord and really minister deeply to people. Let's lift up SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries. Let's pray for Cadence as she leads. The 22nd of October is an important service with Robert Glover. Let's pray that God really speak through him. And then we'll have an info session afterwards with another fostering agency. And let's pray that our church would really come alongside God's heart for the children here in Hong Kong, particularly the babies. And let's just ask for the Lord to move during these meetings and to bless this ministry. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. Let's pray for SPU and IP. There's no EG tonight. Let's pray for God's hand upon our prayer warriors, our college students, that they would really meet with God and pray God's purposes tonight. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would lead our leaders and people would really connect with the Lord and with each other, really minister to one another. Let's pray for our Mongolia mission trip, the 12th to 22nd. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. A powerful team of the Lord would use them and protect them and just guide them throughout this trip. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for the word today. We thank you for the reminder, Lord. God, we can see through Hezekiah's life, Lord, that somehow things that start well don't necessarily end up finishing well, God. Lord, I pray that you would help us individually and as a church to stay away from these snares of the evil one that would really take even the good things that you give us, God, and turn it against us, Lord, because we've been ungrateful, we've been full of pride, that we thought that it was really on our behalf instead of the Lord. God, I pray that you would forgive us when we've thought those things, God, when we acted out in that way. Lord, help us to always be grateful, be in the place of thanksgiving, Lord, and to take the very things that you bless us with, God, and bless you back, Lord. We're blessed to be a blessing, Lord. And so help us, God, to live that out. We thank you. Watch over us. Watch over our community. Lord, come and have your way with us, God, this week, we pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. If you can remember to pray for me. I'm actually heading out to Australia tonight. I'll be speaking at a church over the weekend, particularly on the topic of marriage and family, over a church that's having a bit of difficulty in this area. And so if you can remember me, I'd appreciate that. I'll be back on Tuesday. All right. Bless you guys.